Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Illicit by M.N. Forgy. Narrated by Alexandra Shawnee and Philip Alces. Love binds you to a realm of insanity. Though my passion faded, I never stopped being crazy. Machete. Prologue. Raven. Standing against the hospital wall, I wait for Alessandra to exit the birthing room. Alessandra is my partner and my target. Her best friend Jillian is who just had the babies. That is why Alessandra dragged me here. The name Jillian sets heavy on my shoulders. That's the woman my boss, Cross, is after. Word has it he wants those babies. That's what Cross does. He kidnaps kids and turns them into the best outlaws law enforcement has ever seen, then uses them to do his dirty work. I know, because I was one of those kids, and so was Alessandra. She just doesn't remember. She probably won't remember me as Raven, but as Black A, just as she was called Brown Five when we were kids and not Alessandra. She didn't know her name back then. She didn't know anything. She used to be as dark as me, a soul lost to the underground of survival. I'm here to make her remember, and that time is coming very soon. My story isn't a simple one. I was kidnapped as a kid and put into an underground ring run by a man known as Cross. He would condition kids to fight each other, and we had to learn to endure the worst conditions if we wanted basic essentials, like water, food, or bathing. It was all to do his dirty work when we came of age. My opponent was always a girl that went by the name of Brown Five, also known as Alessandra, and is now a Sin City Outlaw's old lady, practically untouchable. Sure, we were all rescued from the underground kidnapping ring at some point, but I was too far gone by then. My violent upbringing ingrained in my soul, and my grudge for Alessandra too great for me to let go. I was angry and needed to release my demons on someone. I thought that someone was Alessandra. When Cross came for me a little over a year ago and told me I could have the opportunity to retaliate against Alessandra if I helped him take down the Sin City Outlaws MC Club, I went for it with more than excitement. She would see what it was like for me, and I would be free of my past. Cross had contacts to push me through the police academy, so I could get close to her as she was a deputy on the Vegas Police Department. I passed everything with flying colors, as I've been trained to be a lethal weapon rather than a normal person after all. But when the chance came to rain my revenge on Alessandra, when I looked her in her scared eyes, I saw something I didn't like. I saw myself. I fucking let her go. I realized she was not my enemy, but Cross was. Realization was too late, because I was soon caught by Machete and caged in darkness once again. A man with red hair and intimidating eyes steps across from me. He's a member of the Sin City Outlaws MC, and is here because Jillian's boyfriend is the president of said club. His shoulders are broad, and his chest and arms are thick with muscle. His eyes rake me up and down, and my cheeks flush from the intrusiveness. Hands behind my back, I look up at him through thick lashes. My focus on fucking terrorizing Alessandra almost fading, as he's so handsome to look at. Almost. "What's your name?" he asks, his voice low and rough. You can hear it in your bones. "Raven," I tell him with a lift of my chin. He points to a patch on his black cut. "I'm Machete." He winks, and I feel that wink all the way in my gut. He's bad. You can tell by the way he holds himself. "You Alessandra's partner?" he asks, observing my police uniform. I look down, forgetting I'm even a cop. It's all for show, none of it real. All a ploy to get to the bitch that made my life hell. Yeah, I smirk. Alessandra walks out of the room, her eyes bouncing from me to Machete. Let's go, she barks, and I give a tight-lipped smile to Machete. The way Alessandra is always talking down to me, it's going to stop. How are the babies? Are they okay? Did she have twins? I ask, knowing Cross is going to demand these answers when I see him again. Whenever that is, the man just shows up out of nowhere, like the Reaper. Nobody can stop nor avoid him. During passing, Machete grabs my elbow discreetly, his green eyes heated and looking right at me. My stomach knots, my mouth watering as my eyes fall on his lips. You like something I could have some fun with? He smiles wolfishly, his crazy eyes sexy but insane looking all at the same time. If only his crew knew he was flirting with a rookie cop, I bet they'd cut his fingers off. Then again, flirting with the enemy seems to be something his club is very much into these days. I mean, their president just had children with a fucking sheriff, after all. I pull my elbow from Machete's hand with a forceful jerk. I could say the same. I drink him in, and he smirks, seeming to like the chase. I like that smart mouth of yours, he growls, his nostrils flaring. The savage look passing his face, there's no telling what he'd like to do with my mouth. Then again, I might like it. If he knew who I was and why I was here, he'd be looking at me a whole other way, though. I'm his enemy. He will see that very soon.
Chapter 1. Machete. A couple months later. Go get her! Felix orders, his hand pointing in the direction of Raven, our newfound enemy and only chance at retaliation against a man named Cross that betrayed our club. We don't take betrayal lightly. It's a broken law, and we will dish out the fucking punishment. She's casually walking in the distance as if she's lost in a trance, faded from the world and completely oblivious to the cavalry of bikers surrounding her. She's small and cute, long black hair flowing down her back, short jean shorts hugging her flawless thighs, with a pair of dark Vans on her feet. I remember seeing her at the hospital when Jillian had the twins. I knew when I laid eyes on her there was something about her. She wasn't a typical bitch you cross on the street. She was fucked up, and I liked that a lot. I just didn't know she was so fucked up she was the goddamn enemy of my club. I take off after her, Gats, our sergeant-at-arms, right behind me, our boots thudding into the desert terrain as we gain distance on her. She looks over her shoulder with raw, beautiful eyes, dark hair falling in her face, but she doesn't run. She doesn't even flinch at the fact two big men are running at her in the dark in the middle of nowhere. Reaching her, I wrap my arms around her waist and take her to the ground roughly. She screams as we fall, and my dick stiffens from the blood-curdling sound. Her back presses into my chest as she tries to jerk away, and I pull her closer, caressing her face with mine. My beard scratches against her silky skin, and I growl with desire. She's so soft, and smells so damn good, like a spicy fruit or something sweet. I can't help but inhale the back of her neck and take in her scent one last time. The urge to run my tongue along the nape of her neck, strong and nearly unbearable. She squirms, trying to break free, her brows furrowed in with a scowl and jaw tight with anger. The whimper that falls from those devil lips making my fingers dig into her skin. Shh, I whisper in her ear, brushing her hair away from her face with my free hand. She's even more beautiful up close. Olive-colored skin, dark features, and beautiful natural pink lips. Remember me? I growl in her ear, and she stills in my hold, her eyes holding mine. Yeah, she remembers me. Looks like we're going to get to have some fun, I laugh. Her body feels so good pressed into me, I almost wish Felix would fuck off so I could be up against her for a second longer. Get off me, She struggles in my hold, pushing her ass into my groin. I close my eyes and run my nose along the inner crook of her neck, savoring every touch that I can take from her. I haven't touched a woman like this in so long, it undoes something in me. Something animalistic. It's not that I have a hard time getting pussy. I can have what I want, when I want it. Wearing a leather cut, claiming me an outlaw of Vegas and a sexy motorcycle, guarantees free pussy. However, when we have club parties, I'm usually the one sitting on the leather couch in a cloud of smoke, watching the crowd. People don't come up to me because when they do, shit happens. When women come up to me, it's to suck my dick and then fuck off somewhere else. Nobody gets hurt that way. Max steps up to us, holding a needle in one tattooed hand, his boyish looks hardened by the shadows of the moon. He's our tech guy, a fucking geek with a gun, if you ask me. Apparently he's a junkie, too, from the look of that needle. "This should help," he states, pushing bubbles out of the syringe, liquid dribbling out of the needle. "What the fuck is that? Does he just carry drugs in his back pocket? What the hell?" "Morphine. I was prescribed it after I laid my bike over last year, remember?" His eyes skip to mine before landing back on the shot. "I got a fucked up knee from it," he reminds me. I remember now that he mentions it. Some fucktard cut him off on the freeway and Mac broke his kneecap rolling his motorcycle. People never watch for motorcycles on the road around here, and we'd had enough of it at that point. The Sin City Outlaws set a fucking example that night. We found the driver and beat the shit out of him. I carved a dick on his arm with my machete. It was bloody and fun. That scar will make him think twice before he turns without a turn signal again, fucking dickhead. Raven curls her arm under her chest, keeping it tight against her body so Mac can't get to her. She knows what's coming. I love the fight in this bitch. She's not crying for us to understand, promising us she'll never speak a word. She's a warrior. She'll fight even if it kills her. And it very well could. Mac grabs her small wrist from under her and jerks it straight. She growls between clenched teeth, her body tensing. He aims the sharp needle for a thick blue vein before slowly inserting it into her skin. She screams as he begins to press the plunger, and I pull her close, wanting to feel her body vibrate with fear and lose its adrenaline amongst mine. Instantly, she goes limp in my arms, her breathing shallowing as she becomes high as a fucking kite. Her curses become mumbled and slurred, and her movements slow. "There you go," I whisper into the back of her neck, my hand caressing her delicate cheek, the peach fuzz on the nape of her neck caressing the tip of my nose. "She's good, let her go," Max states from behind me. Looking up through hooded eyes, I glare at him. I don't want to let her go. I want to hold her and smell her, feel her fear rattle through her limbs as she discovers I'm her keeper. Reluctantly, I release her, and she drops to the ground heavily. Like a baby giraffe just born, she tries to pull herself up on all fours, but doesn't have the strength. She's not going anywhere with that morphine racing through her veins. She's at our mercy. We can do whatever we want to her, and she's helpless. I hear crying, and look up to find Alessandra embraced in Felix's arms. She's bleeding and half naked. Raven really did a number on her. Zeke strides up to us, his dark hair hanging in his face as he assesses Raven. He's my president and a loyal brother of the Sin City Outlaws MC. This is my life, and everything I am and know. I owe it all to him, because without him I'd be more lost than I am today. Take her to the East Warehouse. You know what to do from there on out. He flicks a brow at me, silently telling me he wants me to take over, and I give a curt nod. He just gave me this girl to play with, to torture for intel. My pet and fucking toy until further notice. He bends down and grabs her by the face harshly, his fingers digging into the flesh of her jaw. Foggy eyes find his, her body swaying as she fights the sleep trying to wash over her. "You will give me the whereabouts of Cross or die. Do you understand?" She spits at him before laughing in a daze. Zeke inhales an angry breath and throws her onto her back. "By any means necessary," Zeke grants me my fucking wish. My goddamn birthday. God, she's going to be fun to play with and break. I'll take care of it, I state. I swallow hard, realizing this will be the first female I've been ordered to torture for information. I don't fuck around with bitches unless my dick is deep inside of them, and I keep that with as little communication as I can. No eye contact, no talking, and no fucking callbacks. Women are an evil breed that causes you to do things and feel things before you even realize what's happening. Their cherry lips, soft skin, and tempting smells make it impossible to avoid their allure. I don't just gently fall in love with a woman, either. I starve for their affection and drown in an addictive obsession. I give them fucking everything my soul has to offer. But my cracks and scars come with it, and that's sometimes too much for a real woman to handle. Bending down, I pick her body up and toss her over my shoulder. She attempts to slap my back, but her fight is pathetic. She's so high right now she can't see straight, let alone try and escape. Mac opens the club's van door. The seats have been taken out, leaving an open cab. I shove Raven's limp body in and climb in beside her. Mac shuts the door and gets behind the steering wheel, starting the van's engine. Pulling out of the desert, the vehicle bounces and swerves, trying to make purchase of the rough terrain. I glance down at the black beauty before me, and she stares back with a bit of devil in her eyes. She's a tornado with a pretty face and a dark soul. I can see it. She reaches out with delicate grace, her fingers just reaching the ends of my beard. She smells sweet and looks soft to the touch, tempting. "Kill me," she whispers, her fingertips caressing my cheek. I want to push my body onto her and feel her warmth against my skin one more time before I take her life and her body cools. I'm going to enjoy her. She's dark and twisted. I smile and bend down to get closer to her. Running my hand through her soft black hair, I pet her, brushing her loose hairs away from her face. Fuck. I'm excited to play with her, hear her scream and watch her fear me. To quickly kill someone as pretty and smart as her would be a goddamn waste. Like breaking a toy before you got a chance to play with it. This needs to be done slowly. Oh no, sweetheart. The fun is just about to start, I threaten in a low whisper. Something dark passes over her face, but she doesn't break eye contact. It's almost as if she sobers completely. Suddenly a foot strikes me in the chest, and I sail into the side of the van. The little bitch has a punch behind her. She wobbles herself up on her hands in a drunken daze from the morphine and, with all her might, pulls open the van door. A whoosh of warm air drifts through the cab of the van as she leans out the door, ready to jump, her hair wafting around her like a black halo, one that was on fire but recently snuffed out. "Get her, Machete," Mac orders, before slamming on the accelerator in an attempt to keep her from jumping. It causes Raven and I both to fly into the back of the van, making the two back doors jerk open as our bodies bash into them. We tumble out of the van roughly, hands and limbs flailing, as we roll onto the dirt road. The skin on my arms feels like it's being ripped off from the dirt and gravel, and one of her hands slaps me in the face as we fall out. "Motherfucker," I bellow as my body slams against the hard ground unforgivingly. The fall doesn't seem to bother her as much as she tries to climb to her feet and run before she even comes to a standstill. She trips as she tries to escape, and her movements are very slow. It's kind of entertaining, actually, like hunting a clumsy deer in the desert, more legs than brain. I reach for my gun and aim at her. Biting my bottom lip, I second-guess damaging the goods before I even get a chance to play with them. I aim it at the sky and fire a round. She screams and falls to the ground, clutching her ears. I furrow my brows. Surprised that worked. Gotta be the drugs making it seem louder than it is. Running up to her, I pull her up off the ground by her hair, and she whines in protest. Black silk wraps around my fingers as I jerk her around. Her nails dig into my knuckles as she tries to pull away from me. "Get the fuck off me, you freak!" she hisses with clenched teeth. Scratch marks slice across my hand as she resists, and I relish in the pain, like fighting a wildcat. Well, aren't you a ray of fucking darkness? I seethe. She takes a deep, ragged breath, her fight slowing as she looks up at me with glossy eyes. God, she's as fucking irritating as she is gorgeous. Are you going to murder me? She asks, so calmly it causes the hairs on my neck to rise. This bitch ain't right. In all my days as an outlaw, nobody's asked me that. Do you want me to? I ask softly, and she just blinks in response, the soft crook of her neck moving as she swallows. My blade would slice through that soft skin like fucking butter. Bending down, I brush my nose against the shell of her ear, and I not only hear, but feel the gulp of air as she gasps. God, to have control is a fucking adrenaline rush. I want this bitch to obey me and know I'm her only hope of life. It's only murder if they find a body, and right now you're just a missing person, baby. I growl, and her eyes widen to saucers as if the thought of nobody finding her scares her more than death itself. Laughing maniacally, I throw her over my arm and carry her back to the van. Teeth suddenly sink into the skin of my arm, and I growl through the pain, my arm flexing as her sharp teeth slice through my flesh like a rabid bitch. Grabbing the nape of her neck, I tear her off my fucking arm and shove her in the van roughly. She looks up at me, ebony hair in her dark eyes, her mouth stained with my blood, and as fucked up as it is, the sight of it has my dick jump in my pants. She's the kind of crazy you could get addicted to quickly. My eyes fall on the bungee cord laying on the van floor. Reaching for it, I wrap it around her body and the passenger seat, latching the hooks together so she can't try that escaping shit again. I give the strap a hard pull to make sure it's snug, and she glares at me. I wink at her. "We good?" Mac asks with concerned eyes, his hands white-knuckling the steering wheel. I eye my arm where she sank her teeth into it. Blood slowly drips from it. The crimson indentation of her bite marks like little vampire footprints in my flesh. My eyes flick to hers, her dark glazed irises sucking me into a world of crazy I didn't even know existed. This is gonna be one fucking ride. What the hell was Zeke thinking giving her to me? Yeah. Let's just get her to the fucking warehouse before anything else happens. Chapter 2. Machete. 24 hours later. Sitting on the plaid couch, the material is rough and scratchy against my skin. It's uncomfortable and makes me miss the leather sofa at the clubhouse. I look across the way at the large metal bolted door concealing a 10x10 room with no windows and with only one light casting a shadow of nothing but pain and secrets. It also inhabits my biggest challenge yet. A female, one that has butter-soft skin and jet-black hair. Her dark eyes matching her soul, black and cold. She has a face that has the cheekbones of a model and a jaw that is sharp and reminds me of a bitch that should be walking down Broadway rather than running mayhem in the underbelly of Vegas. Raven is my fucking enemy, and one I will torture to get to the truth my club needs by all means necessary. Men break easily. I'm curious how long it'll take for a female to give the whereabouts of Cross. Cross is Zeke's estranged father who betrayed the club by trying to undermine Zeke and take it over with his uncle Frank. Frank thought he owned Vegas and the club. He was wrong. We put a stop to that shit real quick by killing Frank. But Cross escaped, leaving us all on edge and goddamn targets. Frank and Cross also had the mafia behind them as they took over the casino that sits next to our club. So that means we aren't just trying to find Cross, but the fucking mafia is pissed at us for running off their paychecks. Finding Cross will end all of our troubles, but we have no idea where he is. But Raven does. Flexing my fingers around my machete, the one Zeke got me when I was patched in 2 years ago, I stare at the reflection of myself in the steel blade. My reddish hair is longer on top than the sides, my green eyes looking back at me with a lost look. I've aged the last 3 years. You can see it. I hold a hardness about me that wasn't once there. They say I'm a fucking soulless animal, lost of compassion and out of fucks to give. cold to the touch and hard on the eyes. They're right. Somewhere down the line, I lost sight of humanity and stepped out of the sun to live in the dark. It's quieter and more entertaining around those that lurk in the shadows. The rules are simpler but bloodier. I push myself off the couch and slowly walk toward where Raven is being held captive. Peeking through the crack of the metal door in the doorframe, I watch her closely. She's gorgeous and tormented, like a doll a kid has played too roughly with and left outside to wither. I want to play with her, too. She is tied to a chair with a small stretch of duct tape over her mouth, rendering her helpless. I like that. A lot. Some of her black hair is stuck under the tape, and it makes her look more vulnerable. She's crying, her face smeared with dirt and tears. I want to taste those tears. A growl escapes my throat, stalking her like she's my prey, and her head whips in my direction. My heart hammers in my chest, my teeth clenched as I watch her watch me. Dark, wild eyes stare at the door as she mumbles something behind the tape. She jerks her body with narrowed eyes, and my hands ball into hard fists at her squirming. I sense no fear, no terror coming from her. I'm not sure if I like that or not. It's a first. Everyone is scared of me. I'm not right. She is mine, though. They gave her to me. I will break her and find the enemy of my brotherhood if it kills me, even if I have to kill her. I grab the closest tool off the table next to me and kick the heavy door open, a roar ripping up my throat with a pair of wire cutters in my hand. Her eyes slowly meet mine, her nostrils flaring. She seems unmoved by my actions, and it confuses me. She doesn't look at me with fear or terror, but defiance. Maybe I've lost my touch, and I'm just reading her wrong. Striding up to her, my boots thud against the cold concrete. I rip the tape from her mouth and eye her with hooded eyes. "Shit!" she cries from the quick swipe of the tape pulling at her skin. A bright red rectangle marks her beautiful plush lips. I wait for her to give in first and talk, plead for me to understand, offer to suck my dick for mercy. They all do at some point, and she will too. Slowly she turns her head upward, her eyes hooking me where I stand. "Give me your best shot, you fucking animal," she spits, her dark hair sticking to her pretty little lips from the leftover adhesive. I laugh. It starts small, then turns into something maniacal. "Oh, you're a feisty little cunt." I grab onto the arms of the chair, my face in hers. "I like that," I state in a guttural whisper. Her eyes jump back and forth between mine, her dark eyebrows furrowed inward as she stares at me with pure hatred, unmoved by my insults or threats. Bringing the wire cutters up, I give them a quick snip into the air. "You sure you don't want to change your mind and give me what I want?" I offer her one last chance. She stares straight ahead as if I have no effect on her. It pisses me off. Most men would be squirming in this chair, trying to get as far away from me as they can. I position the clippers above her soft knuckle. She doesn't flinch or cry harder. If anything, she calms, as if she's left this existence and went somewhere else mentally. Interesting. I apply pressure, the sharp pinch of the blades touching her skin, but she doesn't respond in the slightest. This takes me aback, and I lift the clippers away from her skin, unhappy with my lack of results. Maybe she doesn't understand the severity of her situation, what I am capable of with just a simple pair of wire cutters. I've cracked fucking ribs with these things. "You know, all it takes is the slightest bit of pressure for this to slice through the tissue of your finger and snap your bone like a stick," I inform her. She continues to look ahead, not giving a fuck. "You'll bleed a lot, and it will probably get an infection. Then your whole hand will turn colors, as your own blood poisons your body," I continue, trying to scare her, my voice rugged and grim. "Just fucking do it if it'll shut you up." She shakes her head, looking the other way. "What the fuck?" Anger pulses in my neck. My teeth gritting so hard, I swear one cracks. Who does she think she's fucking with?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?